Blog Talk Radio.
Even to them that believe on his name. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good for us to be here. Just another day. And we thank God that we're here by the grace of God, knowing that it's the grace of God which bringeth salvation. That grace has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope of the great God, the blessed appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we thank God. Just another day. So we thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all of our Twitter followers and listeners, and also all of our Blog Talk friends and Blog Talk listeners and our Facebook followers, friends, and listeners. Thank God we're here. In Jesus' name, to do Blog Talk Truth Ministry one more time. So we thank God for this vehicle that we're able to teach, put out the word over the world wide web. And we're thankful for that. So we want to make sure that we give you our call-in number, and should you desire to call in, should you have a question or a comment, you can join in this truth ministry, and that number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So we're blessed to be able to come to you one more time. Be it if you're listening live on today on January 23rd, 2013, or if you are listening on demand, God bless you. So we're thankful. Just another day that we're able to be here. So it is of the Lord's mercies, as the prophet Jeremiah says, that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So that is found in Lamentations, the third chapter. So it's good to be here, to be able to get into what James calls the perfect law of liberty. So that is none other than the word of the Lord. The grass withereth, flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So word is going to stand. It's not going to one jot or one tittle. It's not going to pass, Jesus said, until all be fulfilled. So that's why we just keep coming back to put the word out there, knowing that the word is quick and powerful, as the Hebrew writer says. The word quick, that word quick means that it is alive. So the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight. Talking about God, you can't separate him from his word. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So you can't get away from God or his word. And he is he that has made us. That's why the writer said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. He goes on to say, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So he goes on to say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So that is the 100th psalm. So there's nothing like God's word. So thank God that we're, like we said, Paul told Timothy when he wrote in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So word has to be rightly dividing. You have truth when it is rightly divided. So what I had read, that entire 100 psalm, 5 verses. So, like I said, the latter verse, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That's definitely what we are endeavoring to do, is to bring truth and rightly divide the word of truth. So can't just pick up a scripture and run away with it. But everything was written for our learning. So there are things in the scriptures that are not for the church, but some things in the scriptures are for Israel. Like people always make the quote about the head and the tail. And the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy is talking about Israel. He made them the head. He gave them the oracles of God. And he's not going to change his mind. So that's why the scripture says, Romans 11:29, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So God gave Israel the oracles of God. God chose Israel. And he's not going to repent. He's not going to change his mind. That's why the scripture says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So he called Israel. He's not going to change his mind. Those were his chosen people, which is the earthly seed forever. So no sense in us arguing with God. So we thank God that we're here and we're still bringing you the word, dealing with the subject called the Godhead. Like I said, you can't exhaust the subject of the Godhead. Like I said, found in three places in the Bible, Colossians 2 and 9, Romans 1 and 20, and Acts 17 and 29. So the term the Godhead, God is the head of all things, and notice the word Godhead. So there is one person in the Godhead. So God cannot be contained. You can't put him in a box, but he can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be. He is always God. He can be whatever he wants to be and never cease to be what he is. He cannot be contained. He is everywhere, every place. He is the everywhere, here, now, there, God. He is God all by himself. It's like he said, I'm God, there is none else. There's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. So nobody's with him. Nobody's beside him. Nobody's before him. Nobody's after him. But he is the self-existing one. And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light of life. He did not make himself. He always was. So that's why David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So he even said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. And he goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So in that particular psalm, the 23rd psalm, the shepherd is not speaking, but the sheep is speaking about the shepherd. Shepherd's not saying a word, but the writer is saying, talking about who the shepherd is and whose the shepherd is, that the shepherd is his shepherd, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe we kind of touched on that last week or either the week before. We were talking about the Good Shepherd and the door in the 10th chapter of St. John. And I believe we were talking in the 11th chapter of St. John about the resurrection and about Mary and Martha and Lazarus who had died and bringing understanding about what was going on and how the Lord of life, the giver of all life, the God of all flesh is going to do just like what he did before when he stood at Lazarus' grave and cried, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody says it's going to be a lot of us getting up. So he's going to do the same thing that he'd done before. And like they said, somebody said, if he wouldn't have called Lazarus by his name, everybody in the graves, the dead in the graves, everybody would have came forth. So it's so important. He's going to call everybody by their name with a shout. So that's why the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's only one Lord going to be coming back. And then the Lord, he is God. That's so important. That's what the psalmist was saying. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that hath made us, not we ourselves. So it's only one that we are talking about. So today we are endeavoring to still talk about the self same one. We are coming with our lesson on the day out of the last book of the Bible, 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. So we're coming out of the last book of the Bible and the last chapter of the Holy Writ, and that is the 22nd chapter of the book of the Revelation today in our lesson. And so we're talking about the same Lord God in our lesson on today. So not gonna, when you get to heaven, you're not gonna see two, not gonna see three. Get to heaven, you're only gonna see one. Like the song said, oh yes, there's one. There's only one. Blessed Jesus, he's the one. So we're going to see what the Lord has to say. So the book of the Revelation is so very important. You're here, even I and myself, my historian that is with me from time to time, we have taught lessons out of the book of the Revelation. And Revelation is a book of prophecies, and you got visions going back and forward. But after the fourth chapter in the book of the Revelation, the church is in heaven. The church is looking back on the earth from heaven in the book of the Revelation. So we today we're going to be dealing with talking about who Jesus is. And so we can, our lesson on today, we are letting you know about who he is and what he's deciding to do. So we, all the judgments and everything have been happened in the new heaven, and the new earth is has been revealed. So all of these things that have happened here in this book, he has showed John the pure river of life, clear as crystal, and all of the things, just the streets made with pure gold. His servants are going to serve him. They're going to see his face. His name going to be in their foreheads. There's going to be no night there. And so that's why he said unto me in verse 6, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Then so he goes on to say, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So John was going to fall down at the feet of the angel that showed him these things. He said, don't do it. He said, I'm thy fellow servant and of the brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So he's letting them know, you got to serve God. You got to worship God. I am nothing but an angel that is showing all of these things. So that is so very important. So this is what we are doing, and we are trying to bring our lesson forth on the day. So letting you know about his deity. So he goes on to say about he that is unjust, let him be. He said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So John is still writing. Remember, John is one of the last apostles that is in the isle called Patmos, and he let him live. And Fox's Book of Martyrs say that they tried to boil John in oil. This is what we were saying. So there are no living apostles today. And some people claiming to be that they are. This is man saw the end. So saw the final judgment, saw the end of the world, saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, suspended in midair as a bride adorned for her husband, all the things that the Lord had let him see. So he goes on here, even in the midst of all of that, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. So that's why the writer in the Hebrews says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we just can't do anything, come any kind of way to God. But we got to be holy, just like he is holy. And you're able to do that when you are born again. You have taken on the new nature. So he says, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates of the city. He goes on to say, without are dogs and scorners and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify these things to the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. So you notice in the scriptures, in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the writer says, about us laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And he goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, if you want to turn there, and I'm going to go there too. So it's so very important. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He started us off. He is a finisher of the faith. So he goes on to say, about us running with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Hebrew writer goes on, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. He's talking about Jesus. We got to consider him. He paid a debt that he didn't owe. We owed a debt that we could not pay. So this is so very important. He is the one that started us out. He is the one that was written of to come and die. Emmanuel, God with us. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's going to came to be condemned of the elders, to be crucified by the Romans. The Jews would stone you to death, but the Romans would crucify you. And that is exactly what he came to do, is to be made a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's why he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So he came to die a cruel death to save us from our sins. He came to shed his blood for the remission of sin. And that is why you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. That is for the remission of sins. Hebrews 9 and 22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught the disciples carefully. They listened to him during his earthly ministry. So they got the revelation of what was going on. They knew who he was. This is why he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And that's why he was saying, flesh and blood have been revealed unto thee, Dard Peter, Matthew 16 and 18. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I give unto thee, talking about Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That means exactly what it says. Charge them that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So that is not like we would think his last name. No, he is Jesus the Christ, or the Christos, or the anointed flesh of God. This is who he is. So this, why Apostle Paul, in his letters, especially to the Corinthians, when he wrote, he was saying that we don't preach ourselves, but we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the problem nowadays. So many false Christs and false prophets are arising. They're magnifying themselves, saying that they are apostles, saying that they are prophets. And that is not important. This is not the ministry of the prophets. Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of those prophets are dead. But what is important, what they wrote about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what was. That is what was important. Not them. Even me, myself. God don't have to have me. He can. He can do without me. But you don't. The emphasis is on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not on us. You know, not on how you people saying all kinds of things to act like that they're Elijah or they're so important like it was back in those days, but that ministry is over. But God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, he spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The writer says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. The sonship is the office that he is using today, the office of the sonship. So that's what's important. Not us. So, yes, you got to be in the church. He set the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. And that's Psalm 68 and verse 6. The dry land is the desert. In the desert is no living water. So if you're not in the church where the Holy Ghost is moving, then you're going to die spiritually because there is no living water in a desert place. But you got to be where the living waters flow. And this is why Jesus said in St. John 7 chapter, the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, or he proclaimed, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Not us, not we. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, the Bible says that this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost is not yet given, not at that time, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Then they went on, the chief officers and all of those, why haven't you brought him? And they were, it was a division among the people because of Jesus. And so somebody said, never man spake like this man. So you know, you see times in the scriptures when he talks about his father and St. John, he went on to say, St. John 10 and 30, I and my father are one. So you got to understand how he is speaking. So that's why John went right on. He didn't talk about the beginning of Jesus' ministry like Mark and like Luke and like Matthew, who wrote to the Jews from the kingly side of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. But John just got right to the point. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what you got to get. Everybody got to get in their mind. There is no such thing as a Trinity. That is a dirty lie. That's one of the worst lies that ever came out of hell. There is no such thing as the Trinity. That word is not even in the Bible at all. No such thing as the Trinity in the Bible. But that's man came up with that stuff, that dogma, that false doctrine like that, because there is no such thing as the word Trinity in the Bible. So there is only one God. People just don't understand how God became a man. He came into the world that he made. That's why John said he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So some people did know. The Jews, as a nation, were a stubborn and stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, rebellious people. And that's what the writer wrote in the book of the Acts, says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart." He went on to say, "You resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did." So the Jews as a nation would not accept Jesus as the Messiah. But they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced, as we brought the lesson out of the 12th chapter of the book of Zechariah the other week in the 10th verse. They're going to pour upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of supplications. And they're going to, it goes on to say, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So they're going to see him. So at another time, every eye is going to behold him. Even they which pierced him, they're going to see him. And you read that in the first and second chapter of the book of the Revelation, where we're at right now. You can read those scriptures also. He's going to come in the clouds. So that's the second coming. The appearing of the Lord is when he comes to catch the church away. We call it the rapture. It is actually the catching away or the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dead in the grave is going to hear his voice and shall come forth. So the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the clouds, the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And Apostle Paul wrote in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. The corruptible shall put on incorruption. The mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." He goes on to say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave," I got a question for you, "where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He goes on to say, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the same one was back there in the beginning, the same Jehovah, the same God Almighty that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew, the same Jehovah that Moses wrote about. After the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible, but it is the same God. And Isaiah really writes about him quite a bit. Said, "I am God, there is none else. I'm God, there is none like me. There's none with him. There's none beside me," he says. "There's none with me, none after me, none before me." He even said, "I don't know of any." He's omniscient. That means he is all-knowing. He is omnipotent. That means he has all power. He is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere and every place. He is God. So we don't understand that in the spiritual world. We can't see what is around us. One thing you can see, we're living in evil time. We're living in perilous times. We are living in the last days. So things that are going on in the spirit world that are going on, these people are going nuts, as we would say, about their guns. They don't even understand the weapons of our warfare, the spiritual warfare. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing into obedience every thought that acknowledges self, every high thought that tries to come against the knowledge of God is what it's talking about. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's why we got to put on the armor of God. We got to take the shield of faith. We got to take the breastplate of righteousness. We got to take the helmet of salvation. We got to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We got to take the shield of faith that we may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And above all, we got to take the sword of the Spirit. And that's the offense right there. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we're not running. The Bible says, resist the devil, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So we're not running nowhere. So we don't have any armor on the back, but we face that lion devil head on. Because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So this is why say it's so important. They asked Jesus in Acts 1 and 6. They knew who he was. After he had rose from the dead, he was on the earth for 40 days, showing himself in many infallible proofs, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. They let him know, they was asking a question before he was getting ready to step on a cloud and get out of here. And that was, they asked, Lord, are you going to restore again the kingdom to Israel? He let them know, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said that. He stepped on a cloud, was received out of their sight. Two men in white apparel, which were angels, they said, you men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? The same Jesus who you see taken up is going to come in like manner. So when he comes in like manner, that is the second coming. When he steps on that Mount of Olives and crack it in half, Jude says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Ain't coming back playing. He coming back fighting. So that's why you want to be on the Lord's side. This is why we got to get it right. So we got to realize, just like the Lord said, and Apostle Paul wrote, he said, as it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You got to understand, this is a covenant-keeping God. Even to Israel, back in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, to 1,000 generations, he's a covenant-keeping God. And to prove that, he made a covenant that he would not destroy the earth any more by water. So what was the sign of that covenant? The rainbow. Many of us, we see rainbows many different times. We see rainbow. And believe me, that is God's sign of his covenant, the rainbow. So man would like to do a lot of things. I mean, God let man have a lot of wisdom, have a lot of knowledge. There is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is the principal thing. You should get it. But in all you're getting, you got to get understanding. Take hold of her. She is thy life. Talking about understanding. So Bible is written in the masculine gender, but there are other times you read in the book of Proverbs, which we call the medicine cabinet. It is wisdom and things like of that nature are written in the feminine gender. So you got to take hold of her, and she is thy life, talking about wisdom. So wisdom even said, I was by him when he created the world. So the world by wisdom, they didn't know God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So thank God for the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel saved me, preaching of the gospel will save you. And this is why Apostle Paul was saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Apostle Paul, this is his writing in 1 Timothy, he goes on to say, of whom I am chief. So we were sinners. It mattered not. We didn't tell a lie. We didn't fornicate. We didn't commit adultery. We didn't steal. We didn't kill. We were sinners in need of salvation. So this is what you got to look at. And that was the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were self-righteous people looking the part, but Jesus said inwardly they were full of dead men's bones. So in other words, he was saying, you know, they talked about the disciples when they were eating with unwashed hands. He was saying that ain't going to defile a man to eat with unwashed hands. But he was talking about what's in you is what defiles you, what comes out of your heart, adulteries and fornications and murders and all these things. He said that's what defiles a man. This is why the writer said you got to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you got to keep your heart right. That's the problem right now. People saying things, their heart is not right toward God. So you got to get it right. So the point being is a declaration to be made that the God who came into the world that he made, the God that is the good shepherd, who is the great shepherd of the sheep, the God who is the bishop of our souls, the God who is the apostle of our profession, the God who is the great shepherd of the sheep, the one who came to give his life, is the one that is God. He is the one that is qualified. Like the writer said, he is worthy. Worthy is the lamb that was slain, because he came to give his life. So all these other folks, these people are embracing angels and all of that. This is why Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Galatia, said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, that which we preach, let him be accursed. He went on and said the same thing again. He said, we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So, what is that saying? If it's not in the name of Jesus, it's not the apostles whom he chose, who he gave the word, they preach the gospel, they pass it on, even as back the Jews know the principles of God. That's why they are not hurt naturally today, because they understand the principles. He said, teach it to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now, the gospel, Apostle Paul said, these things he told Timothy, his son, in the gospel. You have heard of me among many witnesses. He says, commit these things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So we're not talking about no two gods or no three gods. We're talking about one God. So that's what you're going to see. You get to heaven, you are going to see one God. So God is great. Job said, behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can his understanding be searched out. So he is a great God. This is why Job said, and to man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So you got to understand. You got to be saved. I mean, we think it's something now, what's going on in the earth. When the church is gone, the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ are gone out of this earth. The Lord is going to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the world. And you can read that in Isaiah 26 and 20. So, I mean, he's not playing. He means everything that he says. So the only reason why it's not worse than it is right now is because the church is still here. The prayers of the people of God are still going up. The devil is a real fool, and every last one of his imps with him. You know he's out of his mind. He's going to try to fight against God, but he can't win against God. But he'll die trying. He's a real fool. And so you got to understand what we're dealing with. So nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. People say hell yes, hell yeah, but they don't know what they are saying. Matthew 25 and 41, talking about that hell was made for the devil and his angels. It was not made for man. So again, I say, should you desire to have a comment or you want to call in, you can call us 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. Or you can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. So we're just grateful to be able to get into the word of the Lord. So also, no one can stop you from getting in your Bible and searching things out for yourself, because you only have one soul, every last one of us. Nobody in their right mind want to be lost. So simple. He made it so plain. All we have to do is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. God promised to fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit give utterance. That's the prophecy that Joel talked about. It's going to come to pass in the last days. God is going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. All we got to do is to believe the word. So that's the earnest of our inheritance, is when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, in the 11th chapter of Genesis, God confused all the languages of the world. They're going to build that Tower of Babel to heaven. They're going to make a name for themselves. God confused their language. So now we have different languages. Now, what is he doing? He'll fill you with his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You'll speak in another tongue. You'll speak in another language. You won't speak in your native language. This is why on the day of Pentecost, they were saying, we hear Elamites and Mesopotamia, all the different ones, they were saying, we hear them speak in our own language, wherein we were born. What did they hear them speak? The wonderful works of God. So that's why in the church, so you have to have the gift. You don't have a gift of the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit. You got to have the Spirit before you have to have the gift of the Holy Ghost before you can have a gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is one of the gifts of the Spirit, is said in the scriptures. Initially, you have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost before you can have a gift of the Spirit. So there are 9 gifts, as we say, even more. The gift of giving in the book of Romans says, let us wait on our ministering. And so he was talking about, he that giveth, do it cheerfully. Him that ministereth, the different things that you do. And mercy, let him do that cheerfully. So there are gifts, and you read about them in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Those are gifts of the Spirit. So incidentally, the letters are written to people who already have the Holy Ghost. There's no confusion when you're in the local church. Even today, these so-called prophets, people calling themselves prophets, there's a challenge, okay? The 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, let the prophet speak by 2 or 3 and let the others judge. So a real prophet in the church of the living God is not going to be one prophet. It's going to be 2 or 3. So that strikes a death lick to that. So there's no such thing. Nowadays, the ministry of the prophets is over. Ain't no fix me a cake like you did Elijah. You know where you could take that. That is over. You pay tithe and offering to the local church. You don't worship no man. This is what Jesus was saying. Don't call no man father. He got even more technical on the earth. So people are calling their pastor father. No. God is our father. So he's very technical about the way we should approach him. That's why Jesus himself said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's St. John 4:24. So he's very technical. And so you can't just approach him any kind of way. So it's not about us, but it's about him. So you don't pay nobody for a blessing. And so that is a lie, and I'm not afraid to say it. And some people don't have the gall, they don't have the wherewithal, they don't have the backbone to stand up and say it. But that makes no sense. You cannot buy a blessing, and you cannot con God. God has principles that he goes by. So, and some people have money. So, we say, yeah, God will bless you. Some people already have money. So the thing of it is, this is why Jesus let them know. They wanted to know about Caesar coming and all these things. But you got to have power. And you have power when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what you're going to need in this world. You're going to need Holy Ghost power to fight this devil that is an enemy of all unrighteousness. He's an enemy of God. He hates God. He hates the name of God. He hates the name of Jesus. He hates the children of God, the devil himself, and all his imps. So we got to realize that. So what you're dealing with, when you're dealing with the evil that is going on in the world, is not a person that you're dealing with, but you have to look at the spirit behind it. So just like those children that were shot, I believe, in Connecticut, wherever that was. So people were so alarmed about, why would they kill the babies? Well, if you read the Bible, that's nothing new. Back in the book of Exodus, they were killing the male children. That's what they wanted to do. But the midwives feared God and spared them. So that devil is a real fool. He hates us all. He is not just now wanting to kill our children. But he's a real fool, and he's been doing this for a long time. And what do you mean by that? Aborting babies. That is the devil. But God got his purpose in that too. So he's allowing all of these things that are going on. His word is going to be fulfilled. So pride is goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So first cometh pride. That's what happened to Lucifer, who was the son of the morning, who was the anointed cherub that covereth. The devil himself, he fell because he was lifted up in pride. God threw him out. That's why Jesus says, behold, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. He wasn't Lucifer when he made him, but Lucifer made himself the devil, the old serpent, the dragon, the devil. This is what the writer in the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, calls him. So God didn't create the devil, but God created Lucifer, the archangel. But he made himself the devil. So he wanted to be like the Most High, wanted to exalt himself above the stars of God. He wanted to overthrow God, and that's why he had to go. He got cast out like a streak of lightning. So anyway, get back to what we were talking about. So we're letting you know that there is one God, and you got to come right and be perfect before him. And so Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect, St. Matthew 5:48. So a lot of people try to play that down. None of us are perfect. Well, I don't believe the Lord would tell us to do something that he knew that we couldn't do. And you, when you understand biblical perfection, he is talking about maturity. You got to grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. This is why the ministry is in the church. That's why he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may the next word grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. So this is what we're talking about. Biblical perfection is maturity. That is the word perfect. We got to grow up. So as we go on here, we know our time is just about gone for this session. So he says, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega. So that's the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. So he goes on to say, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates of the city. For without our dogs, the sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth the make of the lie, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. Who said that? Jesus. And the bright and morning star. So he goes on to say, come, let him that heareth say come, and let him that is athirst and the spirit say come. Whosoever will, let him come, drink of the water of life freely. So he goes on to say, he that which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. So his reward is with him, and he's coming to save his people from their sins. So it's like I said, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So it's not about us, but it's about Jesus. So would to God that many could get that in their mind. It's not about us, but it's about Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Mm-hmm.
and